through 16. And the New Testament reading is Galatians 3:10 through 14. So Genesis 4:9 through 16. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Galatians 3:10 through 14. "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Oops, the word of the Lord, sorry.
All right. Let's pray with you for a moment. Thank you, Father. It's a beautiful day, and thank you for your word. Please give the grace of your Holy Spirit for our hearts to receive it, and give me grace as the speaker to release it faithfully. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I mentioned there's quite a few in our congregation that have been doing mission work lately. There's the group in Mexico. I think they're wrapping up or wrapped up. Forgive me for not knowing the exact time that completed. People are going different directions after that trip. But before that, Mark Davis was on a trip with his college ministry to the central United States, visiting a town that was struck by a tornado and rebuilding a house for a family whose house was just blown apart by a tornado. He passed on to us the story he heard from the residents of the house of how when the tornado came, the dad grabbed his wife and little daughter, 2 years or so old, and threw them into the bathtub and covered them and hung on while his house just disintegrated, blew apart. And if you can imagine what he was going through, I don't know how he held them on and kept them from being sucked out or what his hands looked like when his house was, you know, what happened. I don't know the details of it, but they're all alive and they're all together, and now they have a beautiful, beautiful new home that they can start new memories in with gratitude. Well, you see, the sermon title is Faith Over Fear. I just want to tell you right off the bat, I'm not guaranteeing you won't be afraid if a tornado tears your house apart. Or if a mother bear is coming at you, raging as fast as she can, I'm not telling you that if you have enough faith and you're a good enough Christian and you listen to my sermon today, you won't be afraid. Just want to give you that message. Today I'm talking about a different kind of fear. A kind of fear that doesn't come as a one-time gift, but comes as a subscription. It's going to keep showing up over and over again. It's a condition of humanity. Now, you remember a couple weeks ago, in a sermon I preached that kind of kept haunting me, hoping I said it right and made it clear enough, but I preached about confessing sins. And in that sermon, I think it was that sermon, it's definitely in the series, I talked about Genesis being the book of beginnings. Genesis means beginning. It talks about the beginning of the human race and why we are the way we are. Why is there war and famine and injustice and all this pain and suffering and all this, meanness? Why is there so much bad? Why do we try to go straight and end up crooked? Why do things happen like this? The answer is in Genesis. This is what a human being is. This is what our problem is. Our problem is we had a relationship with God that was based on trust. We said, no, I'm going to listen to the morning star, Lucifer, Satan, the snake, the serpent, who says God should not be trusted. There's a sweeter way. Stolen water tastes sweet, says the book of Proverbs. You know, there's something in us that even though there's no advantage to it, we still want to go against God. It seems sweeter. It seems better. And today that theme has continued. When Adam and Eve first sinned, there was blame shifting and there was curse. Today we've got a similar pattern. It's like the second generation of the original fall of humankind. Why is the world the way it is? Why are people the way they are? Because we had a certain relationship with God, we listened to the tempter, and we broke it and changed it, and there came a curse because of it. There came a curse because of it. Adam and Eve had curses. Adam had the curse that the ground would produce thorns for him, and by the sweat of his brow he would work. It's going to be difficult for you to do your gardening job, Adam, your farming job. You're going to have thorns and thistles, and every kind of work that anybody does has problems. Even pastoring. Can you imagine? No, it's not true. It's not true. There's no job. No problems for me. But every job, if it's making ice cream cones or farming, whatever it is, there's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulty. Now with Cain, there was a sin of breaking of God's command. He murdered his brother. And then there was a defensive strategy, and after that, a conversation with God and a curse. Actually, the defensive strategy is a conversation with God. So there's a sin, a strategy, and a curse. The sin is murder. The strategy, instead of blame shifting, Cain now turns to ignorance and apathy. By the way, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know and I don't care. That's right. I don't know and I don't care. That's what Cain basically says. God comes to him with a question. God came to Adam and said, where are you? God comes to Cain and says, where's your brother? Second generation fall of humankind. The Bible's teaching us this stuff keeps repeating. This stuff is happening. This is our inner problem. This is why we can constantly confess sin, even though you're the nicest person on your block. You can't think of anything wrong with you. Nobody can think of anything wrong with you. You didn't do anything wrong. You're positionally righteous too. Christ died for you. His blood shed for you. You're pure as the driven snow. God has nothing against you. You ever see the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? All right, so there's this convict that escapes from prison, and he gets baptized, and he says, woo, nobody's got anything on me. And the convict next to him says, well, the state of Virginia might have something against you still. Whatever. All right, so you're baptized, you're clean, your sins are washed away, nobody's got nothing on you except you still have a sinful human nature. The Apostle Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's something you deal with, so you're constantly confessing your sins. And the result of your constant confession is constant relationship with God that is constantly grateful. The one who is forgiven much loves much. So it brings us back, because of what Christ did, we're back to the original relationship with God, which is constant trust. Constant trust. Don't eat from that tree. Okay, God, I trust you. Constantly. That's the original relationship. That's what's restored to us in our Christian faith. All right, so this stuff keeps repeating. Cain sinned. Next generation of the fall. It happens for us all the time. It happens for us every day. Will we choose the strategy of Adam? Will we choose the strategy of Cain? Or will we live in constant trust? Cain's defensive strategy is ignorance and empathy. I don't know. Ignorance and hostility. Apathy. Am I my brother's keeper? That means I don't care. I don't know means I don't know. Ignorance. Am I my brother's keeper means I don't care. Well, it doesn't work, just like blame shifting doesn't work. Blame shifting works a little bit because somebody else is always in trouble. Humanity is in trouble. That's why Jesus died for us. You can always shift the blame and it'll hit someplace. You can tell somebody they're in trouble and they are. But it doesn't mean God won't come back to you. Well, he had his defensive strategy and God said, now you're under a curse. What this is telling us is that we constantly deal with sin and we constantly deal with curse and we constantly need a Savior. Jesus became a curse for us on the cross. And so we constantly need Jesus. There's no other solution. Paul, when he is saying in this passage in Galatians that if you live under the law, you're under a curse, that thick part of your Bible called the Old Testament is a long explanation saying there's nothing you can do to get back to God. You are not capable. You can't be good enough. You can't do right. Jesus is the only one who fulfilled the law. And he was righteous. He died for us. And that's how we can come back to God. So, the next thing that happens, Cain's guilty, we're repeating the cycle, he tries a defensive strategy, it's useless. The next thing, then there's a curse. The next thing that happens is a precursor of our solution. The solution of the gospel. Now, this series in Lent, and this is the last one, next week is Palm Sunday, is the series of overcoming the toxic emotions of the fall. Genesis 3 and 4, showing what human beings are like, showing the struggle that we have inside of us. The struggle inside of us, the hurt that's come to us that Jesus cures brings negative emotions. Fear, jealousy, shame, etc. And the thing that happens next, the mark that's on Cain, is a premonition of the solution that delivers us from the toxic emotions of the fall. We're delivered from the death and curse that comes from sin. While we're waiting for death and under a curse, we experience these negative emotions of anger and jealousy and shame and fear. What God does is put a mark on Cain. Cain says, my punishment's too difficult to bear. I'm going to be driven from your presence, and if anyone finds me, he's already deciding to hide. I'm going to separate from society. I'm driven away from God, driven away from society. If anyone finds me, they will kill me. He's under the fear of a curse. This is the fear that comes as a subscription. It's not a charging bear. It's not a tornado. It's this ache in our souls. I looked it up on the website of that hospital, a really good one in the Midwest. Why can't I think of it? Because I'm preaching, that's why I can't think of it. Mayo Clinic, thank you. The Mayo Clinic. I counted 9 different personality disorders that are related to fear, and then there were 10 different mental illnesses of anxiety that were related to fear. Fear kills us. And it's not just the fear of frightening things that happen. There's a condition that we all are vulnerable to. And if certain things come along, we can break. It's a subscription kind of fear. It's intense and it's a part of our human experience. God does something merciful to Cain that is a precursor of the gospel. He puts a mark on Cain. Now that word in Hebrew, mark, also means sign. And when you think of God miraculously putting a sign on you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? First thing that came to my mind was the sign of the Holy Spirit. The sign and promise of the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Holy Spirit. Why? To protect us from death. Cain is marked. He's given a sign. He's given a sign saying, do not kill. Even though when God gives the law is going to be if you murder somebody, you die. God doesn't say, well, this is my law. You murdered, you die. God says if anyone murders or if anyone takes vengeance and kills you, they're in trouble. I have a sign on you saying you're protected. I myself am protecting you. The Holy Spirit puts a sign on us saying God himself is sparing us from death. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit in you. Other things I think of the signs are the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. God gives us the sign. He washes us in the water and says 2 things of baptism. 1, we're adopted as God's child. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. 2, we have each other. You belong to the family of God now. So, God's mercy is shown in Genesis. God shows in Genesis we all have a condition that sends us astray and puts us under the fear of a curse, under a cloud. God's own mercy marks us for eternal life and brings a merciful solution, and it's shown in Galatians. Galatians says if you try for the law, you're going to lose, but if you live by faith, that's how you become righteous. At the end of that passage we read this morning, I put the wrong piece of paper. At the end of the passage, it says that faith is by faith we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. That faith gives us the blessing of Abraham. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we Gentiles receive the blessing of Abraham. So I asked, what's the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham is what God showed him when he said, look up in the sky and see the stars. So will your offspring be. I'm going to make you a great nation. What kind of nation? A holy nation. The Amorites were the property of the God of the Amorites. The Moabites were the property of the gods of the Moabites. The Israelites were the property of the uncreated Creator, the Most High God. They were a holy nation. And so the blessing that Jesus gives you as he takes the curse away from you, the curse of this subscription fear, this soul-haunting kind of fear that can drive our life in all kinds of directions. Fear like this is a chameleon. It blends in. You don't know you're afraid. Forgive me for interrupting myself. I'm just so interesting I have to interrupt myself. But here we go again, all right? Narcissism. You know what narcissism is? Somebody so great, they can do no wrong. They're just better than everybody. They can't receive criticism because they're always right. Do you know what feeds narcissism, what the root problem is? It's fear. It's fear. It's not having the security of being loved unconditionally. You have to have the condition of being the best, being perfect, being uncriticized. Fear is a chameleon. There's all kinds of ways that fear might be driving your life that you're unaware of. And so the curse of fear, the subscription kind of fear that faith overcomes, it's overcome by the blessing of Abraham that says you are a holy person and you belong to a holy family. So let's try this real quickly together. Now you're going to say son or daughter based on your gender. I'm going to say son up here. And I am going to say I'm a holy son and I belong to a holy family. And you're going to say it with me. You're going to say son or daughter. So ready on the count of three. One, two, three. I am a holy son and I belong to a holy family. Remember the confession sermon? You're thinking, yeah, I just said I'm holy, but I owe this guy $50 and I snarled at my wife today and my desk is a mess or whatever. It doesn't ring true? Don't worry. You're positionally righteous. Go ahead and confess your sin. Get your life right. You know, we have sin to continually confess, but we have a Savior who's continually interceding for you. You are positionally righteous. You can become practically righteous if you're not already. Nonetheless, that's positional righteousness. That is the blessing that God gives you. All right, we're going to say it again on the count of three. I am a holy son, and I belong to a holy family. That is the cure for the kind of fear that can tear apart your soul, that can drive you in ways that you're not even aware of because it's a chameleon fear that blends in. All right, last thing. There's a connection, I'll call it the love connection, because it's the connection with 1 John chapter 4 that talks about God is love and all who love live in God. And it says perfect love casts out all fear. Are you familiar with that verse? Perfect love casts out all fear. Now what's being talked about in that passage is the discernment of evil, the discernment of false prophets who say that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And then he turns, the author John turns it to discerning ourselves. How do you know that you're in God? Well, the love of God is in you. You love God and you love your sister and brother in Christ. And perfect love casts out all fear because it has to do with punishment. 1 John is saying what I just said, the blessing of Abraham. You're a holy son, you're a holy daughter, and you belong to a holy family. You have security. You have security in the blessing that God gives you when he became a curse on the cross for you. And so in order to overcome a chronic fear that is endemic in all of humanity, you have to live a chronically grateful, Holy Spirit-filled life. You have to cultivate a loving relationship with God that listens to God and speaks to God and has a foundation of identity. You have to constantly train yourself to accept your identity as a holy daughter, a holy son who belongs to a holy family of God. And in order to maintain that with integrity, you're going to need to continually confess. Because if you say I'm holy, but you don't want to live holy, it's going to be difficult to convince yourself that it's true. Does that make sense? All right, my friends, I've gone on. I wish I could go on and on and on, because this had a lot to say to me, and I'll probably spend the week wishing I could have said it better. But there it is. Now I finally have a challenge for you. All right, this is the challenge. Keep a fear journal this week. Do the best you can to find that chameleon fear, that kind of fear that's not based on circumstances, but is this fear of rejection, fear of condemnation, this conditional fear that we see in Genesis. Fear of being judged. Keep a journal. Anytime anything impacted you, any fear impacted you at all, just be aware of it. Second challenge is to open the middle of the Bible to the book of Psalms and find a psalm that talks about fear. It's loaded with them. Tons of them. David was always having somebody trying to kill him. And the other psalmists were in exile. So there's always fear. Read every day a fear psalm. And then the third part of the challenge is read every day a love Bible verse. Something about love. You're a holy child in a holy family. And it's because of God's love. And so you're accepted. You belong. That is the blessing that moves aside the curse that will haunt you if you're not established in your identity as a beloved child of God. So may God give us grace to further understand this and to cultivate a sense of identity through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.